I'm Mark Bayshore. Welcome back to Current State here for Tuesday, the 22nd day of March. At the top of our program, members of the Lansing City Council have been trying to learn more about how a $160,000 severance agreement was granted to recently departed City Attorney Janine McIntyre. Well, for well over an hour last evening, the council questioned a high-ranking member of Mayor Virge Bernero's administration about that deal. To learn what came out of that meeting, we welcome back to Current State City Council Member Jody Washington. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Mark. Nice to be here.
Thank you for joining us. The mayor's chief of staff, Randy Hannon, answered your questions last night. Where do we stand? Is any more known about how Janine McIntyre's severance was negotiated?
Randy Hannon didn't answer any of our questions last night. It was well over an hour of double talk, and what we were told is we can't talk about it. But what was really interesting, Mark, is, you know, through the process and even last night, we were told as a council, well, she was your employee too, and it was your responsibility to find out what was going on. And it makes it really difficult to do that when you are under the belief that everything is fine and you have no idea that these secret negotiations are going on behind the back door. So now that they have come to this settlement agreement with Ms. McIntyre, in the 14th paragraph, there's a clause that says they will not talk about it, and there's a $10,000 fine if the employee or the employer discusses this contract. So now that it's been done without any knowledge from counsel, nobody can talk about it. So as we ask questions, we're told we can't talk about it. So, you know, basically Randy wanted it both ways, as did the mayor. She's your employee. You should have looked into it. Oh, sorry, we negotiated the settlement agreement. We can't talk about it. So the shroud of secrecy is what begs the question, and I asked it last night, what are you hiding?
And to that he responded what?
With silence.
Literally?
Yes.
No response at all to
None.
Your question, what are you hiding?
Nothing.
Talk to us about the city council members' efforts to try to contact Janine McIntyre directly. I take it there's been some kind of effort along that way. Has no one on the city council been able to actually contact her?
I cannot speak for my colleagues. I have not attempted to contact Ms. McIntyre because actually when this all occurred, I was out of the country. But I did keep in touch and I did keep myself informed as to what was going on. And by the time we knew anything, Mark, this settlement agreement had been negotiated with the clause of silence. So there would be no point in contacting her because she's prohibited to talk about it. And her attorney has made no comment because he too cannot talk about what brought this forward. Now you have to understand her contract was signed, forgive me if I get it wrong a little bit, I believe the end of December. And then by February, this whole negotiation had happened to pay her $166,000 for her settlement agreement. This isn't a severance package. This is a settlement agreement, which is quite different than your average severance package.
Well, both sides, a settlement, I mean, this just begs all kinds of questions.
Of course.
But both sides in this had legal representation.
Yes.
How significant is that?
To me, it's very significant. Why would the city of Lansing need to hire counsel for what they called a voluntary resignation for her to pursue other opportunities? And why is there this shroud of secrecy for something that should have been what they deemed to be a voluntary resignation? Mm. And clearly you have to, I mean, I don't think it takes a Phi Beta Kappa to figure it out that we paid her. She didn't pay us.
Do you think something unethical happened?
I absolutely
that,
do.
That gave Ms. McIntyre the upper hand and enabled her to obtain a sweetheart?
I have no proof, but I absolutely believe that.
Do you think everyone on the city council is as uninformed as it appears? Or could someone on the council know something that they are unable or unwilling to disclose?
The mayor has a couple council members that he is very, very close to, and I don't know if they have had conversations. I would think not. But I can only speak for myself, and I know I've had no conversations, nor have I attempted to have the conversation.
Jody Washington serves on the Lansing City Council. We're talking about the meeting late yesterday between members of council and the Bernero Administration Chief of Staff Randy Hannon about the rather generous severance package granted to former city attorney Janine McIntyre, $166,000.
On top of that, almost $10,000 worth of outside legal fees. So we're looking at, $175,000. And then, of course, I don't know if we're paying her COBRA for insurance for a year. I have no idea if that's in there. I would think when it's all said and done, it probably cost us more than that, probably closer to $200,000 when all of the expenses were brought into it. But Mark, understand too, we have no reasoning why this occurred, which of course makes it seem extremely unethical. But we also had recently the parachute package for Peter Lark. I believe that was $687,000, and we've never really gotten a clear answer as to why he was asked to leave. Clearly, it wasn't the ice storm, because everybody sang his praises through that entire thing. 3 months earlier, he had an excellent performance review, and then all of a sudden, he was asked to leave and was given a huge amount of money. And I do believe there was, and this would have been before my time, but I believe there was another BWL director. So bad employment under this administration, either they were bad choices in hiring or there's something else going on, has cost the residents of this area $1 million. That's a lot of money.
I take it there was some discussion last night of the city council. Clarify this for me. I'm reading that there was discussion last night of the city council perhaps hiring attorneys at this point to help get to the bottom of this. Do you think that's going to happen?
I'm not sure. I think right now, from what I was able to garner from the conversations I overheard my colleagues having, is there's probably a 50-50 split on that request at this point. We have asked our chief deputy city attorney to share a memo with us, and my suspicion will be that memo says nothing. We have some colleagues that have said that, how can I say this? It's done. It's over. Let it go. It's throwing good money after bad.
These are people on the council you're talking about?
Yes. My problem with that is we have to ensure as a council that this stops. We cannot continue to let the administration go with things like that as saying it's done, it's over, move on. Because this could happen over and over again. When you see a mistake, I believe it is our responsibility when we're dealing with taxpayers' dollars to ensure that this never happens again. And there's the executive management agreements, the employment agreements that we discussed last night that was supposed to stop this padding with leave time to make these severance packages better. But this wasn't a severance package. This was a settlement agreement. And this money is being paid out of our claims and judgment fund. So it's not a severance package.
The city attorney, in theory at least, serves both the administration and the city council.
Correct.
Do I have that correct?
Correct.
The city now has a new interim city attorney, or is about to get a new city attorney. That's up in the air.
Maybe.
Mr. Abood has been proposed as an interim city attorney by the administration?
Correct.
Okay.
And that has not come before council for a vote to confirm the interim attorney.
You have to confirm that?
No, we don't. He can perform all the duties as chief deputy city attorney. I believe I can't quote the charter here right now, but he would be able to perform all of the duties. My issue with this is I think Mr. Abood is a really good attorney, and he has served us well. But by his own admission, I have heard him say several times, I don't have the municipal experience. So my concern in confirming him as interim city attorney is that because things are done so shady in this city, that there will somehow be a way for the mayor to just push him in as city attorney without a good interview research process.
My original question was going to be, could you learn more from Mr. Abood if he's approved as city attorney? It sounds as if you're not terribly confident that you could.
Well, and he, too, is bound by the secrecy clause. So he can't share much, which is exactly why they had to go to outside law because of the conflict.
Could someone on the city council actually view the severance agreement here? I understand there was some confusion as to actually locating what was signed last night.
No, there was the confusion. We have the settlement agreement. We all have a copy of this settlement agreement, which says basically nothing, that she's leaving. Here's the money we are going to give her, and nobody can talk about this, and nobody can make any disparaging comments that might make the administration or Janine look bad. What we didn't have was her 2015 extension of her employment contract, and nobody seems to know where that is. And they're filed with the city clerk, and the city clerk said that he also looked in one other department head's file, and he doesn't have their 2015 agreement either.
City Council Member Jody Washington of the Lansing City Council joins us here on Current State. Even Mayor Bernero wanted to end these golden parachute deals. He was vocal critic of, he was a very vocal critic in the aftermath of the Peter Lark situation. Was the mayor over a barrel here for any reason? Is this lack of clarity really a result of him, or was he over a barrel and really had to cave and sign this severance agreement?
Who knows? Nobody knows what happened. Nobody can talk about it. Who knows why he was willing to make this deal in secrecy, and who knows why he was willing to give her this money and pad her leave account? We don't know. We have no answers, so I cannot answer that.
Does it concern you that this episode makes the council look really bad?
I don't think it makes us look bad at all. I think it makes the administration look bad. There, why the need for secrecy? Why the need to pay her out? Why the need to have that? I don't believe that this is to say nobody will talk about it. If that's boilerplate language, get it out of there if you don't want people to ask the question of what are you hiding. It doesn't make us look bad. We had no knowledge.
You alluded earlier to the fact that the mayor has allies on the council.
He does.
Is there any chance that everyone on the council could learn more from those allies? Do you think those allies know more than you do?
I don't know. I don't know if they know more. I have to hope not, and I have to rely on their integrity. They didn't seem to want to ask the same types of questions that some of us were willing to ask, and yet they didn't seem to have any more information.
Are you hearing from constituents about this?
I am hearing from so many constituents about this. Very many.
And they are saying what?
They're angry. They are angry that nobody knows why she left. They are angry that their tax dollars are being paid for this, of what they view is probably foolishness. You know, we have to take care of our dollars. These are not Virge Bernero's dollars. These are the taxpayers' dollars.
You've been critical of the mayor in the past. Has this incident made you more of a critic?
Absolutely.
You also discussed pilots last night. We've got a limited amount of time left here, but this stands for payment in lieu of taxes, and this is another revenue-related issue. Can you frame what the discussion is about here?
Yeah, I'm a huge critic of the pilots in this city. What a pilot is payment in lieu of taxes, and it is used primarily for senior housing and low-income housing. Now, understand, Mark, I'm not against senior housing and low-income housing, but in Lansing, Michigan, we have way more than our fair share. And what this is I will talk about the Abigail project specifically. The developer wants to take that Abigail building and another building on the property and turn it into low-income senior housing. Then he wants to build 57-some units of low-income family units right next door to that Abigail building. Here's what a pilot is in this particular case. They take all of the rents that are actually paid. So if 50% of the units are empty, they don't pay for those units. They only take the rent that is actually paid for that year.
Got it.
They back out all of their expenses for utilities, electric, water, sewage, et cetera. They back all of that out, and then we get 4% of what's left. My argument is this. One, we have way too many on the books already, that most of them don't end until 2030, 2033. I say we have more than our fair share of low-income housing in this city anyway. We don't need to be the hub. This needs to be a regional discussion, and outlying areas need to have their own. But my problem with the pilot is, so not only do we get only 4% of practically nothing because the rents are low, because they're low-income housing, we also get no income tax from this particular population.
It's a revenue crunch.
Revenue issue for me. And the problem with it is that we have too much, and they're putting them in an already challenged neighborhood. I detest concentrated poverty. And we aren't in a position to continue to give our land away for 50 years for 4% of nothing. We can't do it. We need revenue.
We are out of time. We have to let our guest go, and we appreciate her presence here an awful lot. Jody Member serves on the Lansing City Council. Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much.